Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
I gotta tell you, I never had any doubts, but Caroline Leavitt crushed it today in her first White House press briefing. So cool. I mean, she did a great job. Phenomenal. It's like 27, 28 years old. Hit it out of the park. Like I said, never had any doubts. But the right person for the job, no doubt about it. And I'm told she's a woman, too. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210. I'm not a biologist. What do I know? On X at Rich Zeoli. Great to be with you. Busy day today. Oh, my gosh. This is why I love being in afternoons. I was texting with my buddy Mike Opelka today, who is now a morning guy officially. In Florida, you know. And he said, oh, you afternoon guys have all the fun. I said, yeah, especially in this administration, baby. Oh, yeah. Yes, we do. Because that's when the news happens. First of all, any minute now, the Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, is going to speak. We'll bring it to you live. She was rocking the... guys, I'm just going to tell you right now. Every man loves a woman in uniform. Am I right? I mean, women, you love a guy in uniform, too. Who are you kidding? Stop it. It's me. Okay, we can be honest with each other here. This whole relationship's about honesty. I'm just saying that the secretary today, rocking the vest and the ball cap, like right out of Central Casting. That's all I'm going to say. All right? I've got a few comments from people. Nice to have a hot DHS secretary. I agree, because look, the last one was like a 5'6 Mayorkas. You know. From what I heard. Anyway. But Noem is doing a great job. She was out there today on the streets of New York City. And I was watching Fox News before, had this New York City councilwoman on who's like, thank God we're doing this. Thank God. Of course, she's a Republican. But the Democrats keep faking outrage over this. So today, very smart, Caroline Leavitt came out and listed all the horrific human beings who they picked up in ICE. Like pedophile after rapist after murderer, one after another. So Noem is going to speak. Let me know, guys, if we have the C-SPAN feed going, and we'll bring it live on the YouTube stream, because we're streaming the show on YouTube, and we're trying to fix that pesky delay that we have. I know it's like a couple milliseconds or something, but we're trying to figure that out. We'll get there eventually. That's our goal. Like by the year 2037, I think we're going to be able to fix it and have it ready to go. But Kristi Noem, I on the streets today of New York City, let's dip in here, take a listen. ICE raids continue across the United States. Bad hombres getting picked up. Let's take a listen. So she's walking up to the podium right now.
Good afternoon. It's good to see all of you. Go ahead and be seated. Thank you much so much for that wonderful welcome, and thank you to Deputy Secretary Kari Huffman. He's been fantastic, hasn't he? Let's give him a round of applause. Thank you. I had the chance to visit with him several times on the phone before I was actually sworn in, and we had candid conversations and visited. And when I got here, he handed me a binder full of papers, and he said, I signed all of this. Hope you wanted me to. But I've enjoyed spending time with him and with all of you. Thank you for welcoming me so much. And I am so thrilled to be a part of the family at the United States Department of Homeland Security. Your mission is big and it's vast, and I know that you approach it with the seriousness of which the day and age that we live in requires. So just know that I am committed to fulfilling our mission with you and walking alongside all of you as you do your work every day to make sure that not only do you accomplish your job and do it with excellence, but that you have the assurance that your families will be safe also, and that we leave this country safe for our kids and our grandkids.
By the way, Caroline Leavitt today?
Now, as Secretary,
no notes.
That's my responsibility.
No notes at the White House press briefing.
It also is my responsibility to do everything that I can to give you the resources that you need to do your job. You need the training, you need the equipment and the resources to make sure you're prepared for every single situation you find yourself in. Now, my background and experience is in business. It's also in serving at the state legislative level. I served in Congress, and I also have served as governor. But that experience tells me that if you want people to perform with excellence, you have to equip and prepare them to do so. And that is my commitment to all of you, that we will walk through every single situation together, and I'll prepare you as much as I can for it, and we'll have the flexibility to make sure that we can always keep the American people first and foremost. I am thrilled.
And she was
President
on the streets
Trump
today with her officers,
with
which
job.
Is really, really cool.
And
I mean, being on the streets
tell
with
all
them.
Of you that the reason that he trusted me with his job is because when he talked to me about what my future looked like, I asked him for it. I said, I would like to be the Secretary of Homeland Security, sir, because it's your number one priority. And I love my job as governor of South Dakota. I love my home and my family. I would not leave them to spend time away unless I was doing something of significance. That's the family I was raised in, that we talked every day about the fact that our work should matter. And it should have a purpose, and we should be able to explain why we do what we do, and that it has something that we can show the next generation that really mattered for their future and for this country.
Also, don't forget South Carolina. I mean, South Dakota borders North Dakota.
Of freedom, of light, and of hope. That
Doug Burgum, just saying.
When people look at us, they don't just see people who are there in a time of crisis or conflict, but we're also people that bring a smile to people's faces and remind them what America is about. You're on the front lines many times, but you're also sometimes the last ones in to help pick up the pieces. And you see people on their very worst days. But that
all
is.
Right, let me jump out of this for just a minute while we load up the C-SPAN feed. And just let me know when we have the C-SPAN feed ready. In the meantime, I just want to go over a couple of things with you, and then we'll jump back into this. Here's the thing. This administration is not messing around here when it comes to cracking down on immigration. All right? They are not messing around. And without question, they are taking this incredibly seriously. And the American people are responding because nobody wants child rapists and murderers. And there's Caroline Leavitt today brought up the fact that there was a guy who murdered his pregnant girlfriend in front of her 5-year-old son. That dude got deported. Good. Like, who wants that guy around? Remember what I told you yesterday? The standard we're going to use is the Super Bowl party. Would you want somebody like that at your Super Bowl party? Yes or no? If the answer is no, if you don't want that person at your Super Bowl party, then they shouldn't be in this country. That's it. We should not have that person in this country. That's just how it has to be. Because the reality is there's a lot of bad people out there in this world. And the goal here, of course, is to get them off the streets. And you notice how there's no sympathy for people that get arrested and then sent to just American jail? You know what I mean? Like, you don't hear that. Like, if tomorrow... Like every day in this country, law enforcement goes out with arrest warrants and picks up people and arrests them. You just don't hear the whining about it. Think about that for a moment. But when it comes to illegal immigrants in this country, then you hear the whining. You hear the whining all of the time when it comes to these immigrants. And I just don't understand it, you know, personally. I really don't, other than the fact that they're trying to drive a narrative and an agenda. Oh, by the way, Jim Acosta's out at CNN. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking exactly what I'm thinking, too. Isn't that dude in journalist internment camp? Well, how is he? Did he resign from CNN from journalist internment camp or what? I mean, I'm just trying to understand. I just want to understand. Because we heard that Trump was such a monster and he was going to be cracking down on journalists. But the only thing I've seen is gaggle after gaggle, Air Force One and bringing the press into the Oval Office. And today, Caroline Levin announced she's going to bring people. She's going to allow press access now for new media, not just legacy media, but new media. All right. New media. And that new media is going to be people who are podcasters, people that have online radio shows, online TV shows, people like myself. I've applied for White House press credentials. Maybe I'll get them. Maybe I won't. I don't know. We'll see. But either way, I'm excited that they're doing this. They're actually opening up access to more people to cover the White House. Does that sound dictatorial for you? Does that sound dictatorial in your mind? Opening up access to more people to cover the administration, more people to cover the president. And of course, as Caroline Levin said today, Trump's the best spokesperson. He is. But Caroline Levin just hit it out of the park. I mean, she really did hit it out of the park and did a great job doing so. And it's just it really is. It's just it's a great day in America right now that we can move forward. And let's jump back in here and hear the audio here of Kristi Noem and take a listen.
The only last light of freedom left. We woke up this morning more blessed than 99% of the people in this country because we woke up in the United States of America. We woke up in a country where we get to exercise our freedoms. And that responsibility has been laid at our feet. And I know that the people in this room and the people in this department are up to the challenge and up to the task. I will walk alongside you, support you, lead when we need it, but all the time be there to hopefully inspire you to know the kind of work that you do and how important it is for this day and age. So may God bless you. May God bless the United States of America, and may God keep us all safe. Thank you. Thank you for being here.
All right. There we go. So it's over, but it's okay. It was good. I mean, she said, look, DHS is up to the challenge. And that's what we got to do. We got to be up to the challenge and we got to be able to fulfill it. That's what we need. Has to be done. Has to be done. So good. All right. 855-839-1210 is the number if you want to weigh in today on X at Rich Zeoli. We got a lot to chat about. We got a lot of audio for you from the White House press briefing today. And of course, we're going to take your phone calls. And we're also reacting to the jinx, the Philly mayor jinx, by spelling the Eagles correctly. We're all dealing with that. We're all dealing with the stress of that. I know, myself included. By the way, quick update. I saw the doctor today, the foot doctor. Looks like I'll get my second foot surgery, second and final foot surgery on Valentine's Day. I mean, is there any other way to express love than having your foot cut open and your bone fused? Right? I mean, beats going out to dinner on Valentine's Day, though, in my opinion. You'd rather be in the operating table than going out to dinner on Valentine's Day. That's freaking, it's amateur night. Nobody wants to do that. But anyway, so that's going to happen, and then I should be good to go in 6 to 12 weeks of recovery. But we're on the right track. That's the key. But I'll let you know more after I speak with the infectious disease doctors tomorrow at Cooper. I have my follow-up appointment tomorrow. Make sure the staph infection's fully gone. Hopefully they don't have to check for bone marrow. I mean, the fun just keeps on giving. All right, let's play some audio, shall we, of the day today. And I'll tell you, as I keep thinking about the reaction of President Trump's first week, and even Jon Stewart has been making fun of the media, the leftist media, and their reaction, the over-the-top reaction. When you've got Jon Stewart making fun of the over-the-top reaction of the left, calling him a fascist, and as he said, listen, not everything can be fascism, okay? Not everything the guy does can be fascistic. But they were even saying, you know, my God, Trump firing all these inspectors general. Like, who the hell can name an inspector general? But think about it. How many people have heard the outcries of the corporate media this week about the firing of the inspectors general? And I guarantee you, not a single person who's upset can name one of those people for me. Why would you? Who knows? Like, what do you got? Like playing cards, trading cards of Inspector General? Like, oh, look, I got, hey, here's the Inspector General, the Department of Agriculture. I'll give you this for ICE and CIA. What do you think? I'll make some trades. Nobody cares. Nobody knows who these people are. But it's the overreaction of the left constantly that will be their undoing in this administration. It's what they did the last time. You remember the last time, right? We were all watching from the sidelines as this administration was constantly, every day, beat down every day by people saying, Trump is going to destroy the world. Trump is going to put everybody in prison. Trump's going to start firing squads and gulags. And that overreaction, it was therapy. And that's really what it is. It comes down to it's therapy. It's therapeutic for the people that tune into MSNBC every night and they hear, maybe, just maybe, today will be the day that this all ends. This all ends. This nightmare ends for us. Please, please, tonight will be the night. Lawrence O'Donnell, Rachel Maddow, all of them getting paid millions of dollars to give people false hope. False hope. But these people need it because they can't understand why they lost. And the Democrats, I mean, I heard today the Republicans at their meeting, not all the House members showed up. And we'll talk about this with Congressman Muser a little bit later in the show today. But not all the Republicans showed up. And maybe there's some division within the ranks. Dude, the Democrat Party's in a freaking meltdown. They don't have a leader right now. They have no one at the helm of the ship. They don't have a message. They don't have a leader. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. They don't even know what they should talk about. Should they be criticizing Trump? Should they be getting on board with Trump? Should they be saying nice things about Trump like John Fetterman's doing? Should they be calling the guy Hitler again? They really don't know. And who's in charge of the Democrat Party right now? Who is it? I don't know. They don't know. They literally don't know. Oh, we do have some information on the drones. We have an update on the drones. Let me know if you're satisfied with this answer and if you're still seeing these things. But according to the White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt, she came out today. She reported on the fact that the drones were, in fact, authorized. Research purposes here. Cut number one.
And before I turn to questions, I do have news directly from the President of the United States that was just shared with me in the Oval Office from President Trump directly, an update on the New Jersey drones. After research and study, the drones that were flying over New Jersey in large numbers were authorized to be flown by the FAA for research and various other reasons. Many of these drones were also hobbyists, recreational and private individuals that enjoy flying drones. In time, it got worse due to curiosity. This was not the enemy.
All right. Are you good with that? Are you good with that answer? I mean, I hope so. I hope so. Because let's think about this. Part of me still, I don't know. There's something inside of me still, you know. But I like her, and I want to believe her. I want to believe. Maybe I've just watched too many X-Files. I don't know. Are you satisfied with this answer? Let me know. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. All right? Are you satisfied with the answer on the drones? Just let me know. Tell me what you think. Jim Acosta, live from Journalist Internment Camp. Now, you have to remember this. He's only allowed 1 hour outside of his cell a day. Like Al Capone. Now, you heard Trump reference Al Capone. Acosta's got it way worse. He's kept in maximum security Journalist Internment Camp for 23 hours a day. 1 hour a day, he's allowed outside to roam the courtyard on the south lawn of the White House in Journalist Internment Camp. And then he was able to make this very brave statement today, live, during his 1 hour of recreation. And since he's now out at CNN, he'll be released immediately from Journalist Internment Camp, go on and write another book that no one's going to read, and then will probably be rehired by News Nation or possibly just start his own podcast. But who knows? Everybody's got a podcast now. Why can't Jim Acosta? He should write a book, Tales from Journalist Internment Camp, What I Saw from the Prison that Trump Created for the Media. Cut number four.
Just wanted to end today's show by thanking all of the wonderful people who work behind the scenes at this network. You may have seen some reports about me and the show, And after giving all of this some careful consideration and weighing an alternative time slot, CNN offered me, I've decided to move on. I am grateful to CNN for the nearly 18 years I've spent here doing the news. People often ask me if the highlight of my career at CNN was at the White House covering Donald Trump. Actually, no. That moment came here when I covered former President Barack Obama's trip to Cuba in 2016 and had the chance to question the dictator there, Raul Castro, about the island's political prisoners.
Would that be Justin Trudeau's uncle? No, definitely not. That would not be Trudeau's uncle. Sorry, go on. Keep going.
I took home this lesson. It is never a good time to bow down to a tyrant. I've always believed it's the job of the press to hold power to account. I've always tried to do that here at CNN, and I plan on doing all of that in the future. One final message. Don't give in to the lies.
No.
Don't give in to the fear.
No.
Hold on to the truth.
Yes.
And to hope.
Yes.
Even if you have to get out your phone, record that message. I will not give in to the lies. I will not give in to the fear. Post it on your social media so people can hear from you, too. I'll have more to say about my plans in the coming days. But until then, I want to thank all of you for tuning in. It has been an honor to be welcomed into your home for all these years.
Dozens of you.
That's the news.
There were dozens of you.
I'm Jim Acosta.
Live from journalist internment camp on the South Lawn of the White House. Now I'm going back to take my final communal shower. Look, the histrionics of this guy was probably some of the worst we've ever seen. And our friends at Newsbusters put together a little montage of the worst of Jim Acosta. Jim Acosta's worst moments, okay? Now, it's long. I'm not going to play all of them for you, but we'll play some of them for you. Cut 33.
Damn it. I will say it out loud. That it is our right, it is our duty, it is our role to ask the President of the United States if he's a racist. At one point during this address, the President referred to the coronavirus as a, quote, foreign virus. It's going to come across to a lot of Americans as smacking of xenophobia. The President seems to harbor racist feelings about people of color. He also continued to paint immigrants as criminals when they come across the border illegally. Donald Trump's radical, ultra-national nationalist agenda beginning to take shape this morning. The President of the United States looking like a wannabe dictator. A hard right Supreme Court appears poised to turn back the clock to the 1970s. Jake, I think our founding fathers are probably rolling in their
grave. Let me just jump in here and say, I, for one, would like the clock turned back to the 1970s, wouldn't you? I'd be a lot younger. America could bring back bell bottoms. Actually, bell bottoms are back. Disco. Village People. Wait, they're back. Trump brought the Village People back. Is that what he meant? Maybe that's what Jim Acosta meant. Trump is trying to bring America back to the 1970s by bringing back the Village People. Now it makes sense. And you know what? He's right. Jim Acosta's right. I can't believe it's taking me this long to see it. Give this man his job back. Trump literally turned the clock back when you saw the cop and the Indian and the construction worker, and the other guy on stage, literally the 1970s again. Trump has done what no man could do without a DeLorean, turn back the clock. YMCA? Damn right. Check your closet. You're going to find some flower print shirts, some bell bottoms, and probably a lot of disco records. It's back, baby. He did it. Jim Acosta, I salute you and your bravery for telling the American people the truth and for seeing what we could not see with our own eyes all these years. And thank you for your struggle. Not since Martin Luther King's letter from a Birmingham jail has somebody been so incredibly poignant from non-incarceration. Okay. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Macho, macho man. I knew it was a sinister plot by Trump the entire time. All right, coming up, let's talk about drones. Let's talk about ICE raids. Let's talk about the Philadelphia mayor's jinx. Why is it that Trump's pardons got so much more negative coverage than Biden's coverage? Or Biden's pardons, I should say. We'll talk about all these things for you live today. It's going to be a busy show, kids. Strap in. We're just getting warmed up. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
They just played a clip of Elon Musk in 2023 saying there's some chance that AI will kill us all. Some chance? I feel much better now, Elon. Thank you for clarifying that. Some chance? Dude, let me tell you something. There's a 100% chance AI will kill us all. It's just a matter of when. I saw the movie, all right? Doesn't end well for any of us. But I'd rather our AI come online and kill us than the new China thing they rolled out. And you know, somebody said they asked the Chinese version of that, whatever it's called, and they asked a question about Mao and all like, the genocidal communist crazy leaders of China, and it answered, and then it deleted the answers, and they asked it why. It just said, I don't know what you're talking about. So, you know, the Chinese AI that everybody is now talking, we talked about on the show yesterday, and it's a big deal. But Elon Musk saying in 2023 that we're all going to die from AI is the reason why, like I've been saying to you, and why David Sachs is the White House AI and crypto czar, the United States of America has to be the leader in AI. We have to be. There's no question about that. It's not even an option. We have to be the leader in artificial intelligence. Like I've been saying, and I know this is not very scientific or even very mature, I want our AI to be able to beat up their AI. Okay? Very good. Now, joining us now, as we're going to shift gears for just a moment, we're going to come back to all the breaking news of the day, and there's a lot of it, including the White House press secretary's first press briefing today, in which I thought she did an outstanding job today. I really did. I thought she crushed it out of the park. But let's welcome back to the show. It's been a minute or so. Susan Crabtree. Susan, how have you been?
I've been great. Yeah, just busy with this new administration. We're on Trump time. Get up 2 hours early. The guy is indefatigable. and we are all trying to play catch up with the news cycle. Avalanche of news. But it's interesting, and to say the least, it's the most breakneck pace I've ever seen covering different presidents. I've been in this business for 30 years covering Congress in the White House. So, you know, it's certainly a time of change, and we are, I'm glad to be a witness to it and be able to write about it.
Absolutely. Over at Real Clear Politics, national political correspondent and author of the book Fool's Gold, The Radicals, Con Artists, and Traitors Who Killed the California Dream and Now Threaten Us All. It's available for pre-order now. When's the book going to be out, Susan?
March 11th.
Excellent. Great. I've heard great things about March 10th, too. So the new Secret Service Director, Sean Curran, is clearing house. He's the guy in that famous image of when President Trump was nearly assassinated in Butler, Pennsylvania. Correct me if I'm wrong here. He's the guy wearing the sunglasses next to President Trump as President Trump is putting his arm in the air saying, fight, fight, fight. Now, he's going to be the new Secret Service Director. Is that true?
Yep, that's it. He's already in the job. So Ron Rowe, the acting director that we saw after Kimberly Chenil stepped down, the director who had that terrible statement that they didn't post anybody on the AGR building where Thomas Crooks opened fire because it was slanted, that was completely nonsensical. And she was rushed out of town. She resigned under pressure from Congress. And then we had Ron Rowe, who got into some screaming matches with at least one memorable one with Representative Pat Phelan, asking legitimate questions during a congressional hearing in December. So we have a new chief in town, new sheriff in town, and he has already been cleaning house. There will be at least 10 reassignments or forced retirements, and they already started on Friday, and the Secret Service is calling it, agents that I know are calling it Bloody Friday, and Ron Rowe is already out the door, and another head of the DEI, who's sort of a symbolic of DEI practices, is also out the door. His name was David Torres. He was an assistant director. And it's a time of change at the Secret Service. People are wondering, though, some of them have just been moved to into other jobs and leadership positions. So some people are wondering, is this just a reshuffling on the deck of the Titanic, or are we serious about real change? And I just think this is the initial steps that we're seeing.
One of the things that struck me, well, two things about that day in Butler. Number one is how we have very little information about the shooter himself. Mm-hmm. Motives, these foreign contacts, it's all sort of been buried, it seems. But number two, as much as I love that image of President Trump holding his fist in the air and saying, fight, 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 I mean, in reality, he should not have been able to do that. His head was a clear target. He should have been rushed off the stage. But he's a big guy, and they were not physically able to rush him off the stage. But the fact that the protectee was able to get his shoes on, they couldn't move him, is a problem with the DEI hiring in the first place. And, of course, everybody saw that, you know, that image of that woman who couldn't holster her weapon. I mean, that's a problem, right, Susan?
Well, the DEI issues are legion at the Secret Service, and I have multiple sources telling me that the training has been lowered. They don't use certain weapons because women have a problem using those weapons. It goes on and on. You would not believe the information that I have about the DEI policies. And I think you'll be hearing more about that later this week. I plan to break a pretty important story on that topic. But in terms of his ability, there are some concerns that have been expressed about from Dan Bongino, who is a 11-year veteran of the Secret Service and mm-hmm. obviously a popular political commentator. And people have told me, their sources, he should have been carried out in a horizontal fashion, covered until mm-hmm. the threat was over, completely covered, not have been allowed to pop up like that, even though it was an iconic moment, that he should have been carried out horizontally and protected the whole time. And even Eric Prince, you know, has had his own very well-known but kind of controversial private security service. He actually made those public statements at a forum at the Heritage Foundation that I attended as well. So Eric Prince has been critical, but when the day that I broke the story that Sean Curran was going to be the Secret Service director, Eric Prince came out and said, in response to me saying, well, some people have had some concerns about him and the failures at Butler that day, he said, well, I think he's fabulous now. And he had completely changed his tune. So then the next day, you had Don Jr. singing his praises on X.com as well. So there are some issues with, he was the leader of the detail, the campaign detail,
right,
that had the failures to cover that AGR building where Thomas Crooks got the shots off. So close, 130 yards to President Trump. So it's a mixed bag. He also is the agent that was responsible for requesting multiple times over the course of 2 years extra security assets for Donald Trump, but those were denied by Kimberly Cheadle and I'm told Ron Rowe as well. So it's a mixed bag. People are taking a wait-to-see approach, but certainly it's eons better than what was the leadership that existed before that supported all these DEI policies and pledges.
Well, Susan Crabtree, I look forward to your news on that you'll break later this week about the DEI policies writ large. You did write an article recently over Real Clear Politics. Trump places more than 50 USAID officials on leave. So this has been a controversial agency. This is in my mind, one of those programs that, you know, funnels money to some very, very bad people. And 50 career civil servants and foreign service officers are on administrative leave after receiving information they may have been conspiring to circumvent Trump's executive orders requiring the halting of federal funds to overseas programs and all diversity, equity, and inclusion programs within the agency. So tell us more about that.
Yes, I got this information yesterday. I was forwarded an email that confirming that was taking place. It's a big move. This is in terms of Donald Trump's America First agenda. This particular agency, U.S. agency, you can just tell for international development in the title that there's going to be a conflict with the American first priorities of, you know, let's take care of our own at home and reevaluate the money we're sending overseas to Ukraine and all over the world. And so this agency is under intense scrutiny. 50 people is the largest amount of officials that Donald Trump has been placed on administrative leave of any agency so far. So you can see this is in their crosshairs, this agency. And as I was breaking the news on X.com, Elon Musk responded with two pistols. I think they were water pistols. I'm not sure. But I asked what that meant to different people in the know with his emojis that he uses. And it said that the agency is being targeted by DOGE.
Well, that makes sense, because if the policy is America first, to your point, and this is an agency that's about international development, doesn't really jive with the whole America first concept. I mean, what would be the justification for keeping USAID, for example?
Well, there's a lot of humanitarian assistance. It's the same reason why we have the U.S. Global Agency for Media and Voice of America. It's to project positive influence internationally so that people internationally appreciate the United States. So there's an argument that it's a stabilizing influence around the world, but there's certainly a lot of largesse that I've witnessed just covering them, and they've been in conflict with the Trump administration in the first term. I wrote about a particular case where this individual, Mark Moyer, was a Trump appointee trying to ferret out waste and abuse in the agency, and he was railroaded out, had his security clearance pulled, and was forced to resign. He wrote a book about it, about fighting basically the administrative state, some people say the deep state, and what that was like. So this is something that he was a whistleblower, and the way he was treated differently than the Ukrainian, you know, the Vindman, the one that caused the impeachment process against, the second impeachment process against Donald Trump, was just totally different in terms of how the inspector generals treated him. He was basically hung out to dry completely. So there have been a lot of conflict. I'm told that Mark Moyer is sort of involved in some of advising on some of the individuals that were part of the effort to fight his cuts to corruption and waste and abuse. So it's the game on. Donald Trump is going full bore against these individuals who crossed him in the last term, and he's not going to put up with these officials that are, you know, burrowed into these administrations for decades and are not being efficient. They're not on board with his goals and his America First policies. And there's a lot of fear at that agency right now. And I would say rightly so.
Susan Crabtree's with me right now, and it's great to have her on the show, which is also why I'm not taking Road Warrior's call. But she's on X at Susan Crabtree. Susan, if you have a minute, I just want to ask you about a tweet that you put out regarding the Secret Service. And was there ever a follow-up to that Secret Service counter-sniper who basically said that, you know, there were these high-level supervisors who have to be removed and fired? I mean, those people, those individuals, and the whistleblowers that came forward, whatever came of that, out of curiosity?
I think we're going to hear more from them. In fact, I am hearing more from them. I think they were buried, keeping their head down, some of these whistleblowers, while Ron Roe was still in charge. They didn't trust him as far as they could throw him. And they, you know, they are now speaking up, trying to see if they can trust the new leadership that Sean just brought in, some of the new officials on Friday. So I think there's a lot of conversations that are being had, a lot of emails that are being sent to Sean about the problems in the agency. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said the counter snipers are very, very concerned about why some of the issues that particular counter sniper was very concerned about, the lack of drones, the use of drones, and they're trying to get their drone program up and running in the Secret Service in, you know, in the sophisticated world where the military uses them. And now we know from Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary, she provided an explanation of the drones on the eastern seaboard that we've seen. She did that in her press conference, saying there were some Federal Aviation Administration. But we need to, you know, the Secret Service needs to be able to combat any drone threats. And there are quite a few from China recently. So it is an interesting time. I'm hearing all kinds of things. I can barely keep up with my inbox on the changes that people are recommending Secret Service. Mainly, there's a fight that's happening between whether they should get just focus on narrow their mission to protecting the president, vice president, families, et cetera, or whether they can continue these other things they've done throughout their history, which are, you know, fighting counterfeiting and investigating even child trafficking cases. So what should their mission be in the wake of two assassination attempts on President Trump?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they had to call like an 800 number to figure out how to work the freaking drone, right? I still can't get over that. You go to the help desk at Best Buy. Like, I still to this day cannot understand how that was a thing with the United States Secret Service.
It's not funny.
It's gallows humor. If I can't laugh about it, I'll go insane.
Exactly. Your head will explode. There were so many failures that day. And there were, the problem is I've done stories on people who were fighting for technological changes on drones and in other capacities, and they were smacked down under the old regime. Hmm. It just absolutely, like I said, railroaded, put on administrative leave, told they were alcoholics, one of the individuals I wrote about it, and they have lawsuits against the agency for those very qualms that they've, like, obviously severe retaliation moves. I'm telling you, the Secret Service is a problematic agency. There's so many layers. It needs a complete overhaul from top to bottom. And some of the best agents who are really dedicated and are basically, you know, are willing to risk their lives, put their lives in front of the president to protect him, they are really eager to see what happens and are just hopeful. They're hopeful that things are going to get done, but they all have a healthy dose of skepticism because they've been living these ridiculous policies for decades.
I noticed something on the inauguration day when everything was moved inside, which, you know, I understand that it was cold. But when the president-elect at the time pulled up in front of the Blair House, did you notice how they closed the white curtain out the tent? Like, I mean, typically they come under a tent, but I don't know if I've seen that before where they zip it up so you can't see anything. It felt to me that day like the agency was feeling, to your point, like, we're not ready for this yet. We will be. But we're not there yet. And, you know, as soon as this guy becomes president in a couple hours, we'll be on the right road. But until that time, we have to take every single precaution under the sun. That's the feeling I got watching that at that moment.
Absolutely.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
No. You are right on the money with your questions today. I'm being told that when we ask that question leading up to the inauguration, a lot of junior agents were telling me, oh, it's weather. You know, it's the weather. And then senior agents, a few that are briefed on the threats said, it's threats and weather. You know, people, if they really are being honest with you, they want to just err on the side of caution. So why not tell the president that the horses, I heard the Park Service, they were worried that the horses were going to die because it was so cold. So why not tell the president things like that? Because it was ultimately President Trump's decision, but he only has the information to work with that they provide to him. So I do know that drones were a big concern because the Chinese company, it's the biggest manufacturer of drones, just days earlier, I'm not even kidding you, you can look it up, it's open source information, took off the restrictions on flying into some restricted zones, no-fly zones, like over the White House.
What?
I'm not kidding you. It's I can send you the articles about it. The Chinese government admitted it. Some people are speculating that it had something to do with retaliation for TikTok. But they did that just a few, maybe a week or a few days before the inauguration. So I felt like my sources were telling me they have a lot of knowledge about drone technology and the Secret Service's use of them, were saying that that was a definite threat that they were deeply concerned about.
Susan, you are a fantastic reporter. You're really one of the best out there. And come back again soon so we can talk about your upcoming book, Fool's Gold, about California. I love California. It's such a shame what they've done with that state. Real Clear Politics, national political correspondent, and follow Susan on X at Susan Crabtree. Thank you, my friend. It's great to have you back on the show today.
Absolutely. Great to be with you. Take care.
Take care.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
By the way, Caroline Kennedy writing to senators about Robert F. Kennedy Jr. saying don't support his candidacy. We'll talk about that. That's the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanari of VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental.com. VanariaDental.com. Coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I was saying the other day about Robert F. Kennedy Jr., by the way, I was saying that I think truly, truly, his joining the Trump campaign gave the MAHA moms, the Make America Healthy Again moms, I think it gave them a lot of air cover to back Trump, because these moms, I talk to them all the time, my moms and dads, but I mean, my wife and I have young kids in school. And so we talk to these parents, and a lot of them know what I do. Obviously, I try not to make it a thing. But a lot of them know what I do. And so they tell me, usually hush, hush. But I was amazed at the number of moms who detested Trump, but voted for him because of Kennedy. Because they're not anti-vaccine or anything. That's one of those fear things that the left throws out. But they have questions. I'll give you a great example on this. Say New Jersey requires all preschoolers to get a vaccine. The flu shot, I mean, the flu vaccine. Is that necessary? Should that be necessary? Is that really what should be happening? Should that be optional? Should my 4-year-old daughter Reagan really be getting this flu shot? See, these are the questions that we have as parents. Second issue. My son, Patrick, we give him money to buy lunch at school. We pay a ton of money in property taxes. You would think nice and healthy lunch offerings. Freaking cheesesteaks. Look, I love a good cheesesteak. You know I do. I posted a video on my Instagram page of a homemade cheesesteak, homemade bread, seeded, of course. I mean, my own thing was good. Anyway, but should school kids be able to buy a cheesesteak every day of the week at their school cafeteria? And you try to send them with healthy snacks. What happens? There's an entire black market in the school cafeteria. I kid you not. Kids trading snacks like it's freaking Breaking Bad. Oh, yeah. I'll give you, you know, I'll give you my organic crackers for two bags of Doritos and a Sprite. I mean, it happens. I'm not sure. And then they have like the snack sales to raise money, and it's all garbage food. So it's everywhere. And parents don't know what to do. You don't know what choices to make. I hear microplastics are all going to kill us now. This is the new thing now we got to worry about. Microplastics. The next thing I got to be worried about. First of all, I have no time to worry about microplastics. I have plenty on my plate. I got enough things to worry about besides worrying about microplastics, but that's all I hear about now, freaking microplastics. That's going to kill us all. They're telling us not to eat fish now because of microplastics, and don't use bottled water, and I don't know, can I use Saran wrap or not? I don't know. Point is this, we have questions. We don't trust these regulatory agencies in Washington to really look out for us. We know the experts, how wrong they got it in COVID. The science, we saw it firsthand, how wrong these people were. And we want a disruptor to go in there and ask questions and challenge, because that's what science has to do. Big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. We'll be right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.